Hi there. Have you ever avoided a friend in the street because you think they haven't seen you yet and you'd like to avoid just that casual conversation? Don't worry, you're not alone if you do this. Today, we're diving into a topic that resonates with many people, that of social anxiety. But guess what? You can fix this. Listen to this podcast for tips and advice on what to do about social anxiety. Advice that could change the rest of your life. We've touched on this topic before. Social anxiety is that horrible feeling you get when the office party is coming up or when friends arrange a get-together and your anxiety just rises. It grows and grows. And it's not just feeling shy. Social anxiety is a difficulty that can affect your career and your social life. So I touched on this topic before in podcast 656. Anxiety is the word we use for worry. And social anxiety is when we worry what other people think of us and we're scared of social interaction. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. In podcast 656, I gave you a full description of what this feels like, what social anxiety is like. Social anxiety has a big cost. And after that podcast, lots of people reached out wanting advice on what they could do about their social anxiety. So this podcast will be useful to you. I'm going to give you advice and tips here. We aim to cover great topics to keep you interested, to keep you listening while your English language learning also improves. So another dual purpose podcast today. Don't forget also, if you'd like to learn common vocabulary and common conversation topics in English, and you want to hear and work on conversations in English to prepare for speaking English, then buy our course one, Activate Your Listening. This course gives you so much practice at common English conversation topics. And of course, it's available on our website right now at adeptenglish.com. It's a more focused and in-depth study than our podcasts, even though the podcasts are really good, of course. So go to our website and have a look at that course today. So is social anxiety something that you can fix? As I said, many of you reached out after our last episode asking, can I overcome this? And the answer is, of course, yes. The best way to fix social anxiety is by going to therapy. And of course, that's the context where I normally work with this problem as a psychotherapist. It's worth understanding what made you like this. What were the influences when you were growing up that led to social anxiety? While I do believe that some people are born more prone to anxiety than others, I do think that there are many environmental factors that lead to social anxiety as well. Your experience growing up is unique to you, but there are some common themes often, and these may surprise you. One theme, if your parents are themselves socially anxious, as a child, you're likely to pick this up. Not only does it mean that you miss out on the modelling of what confident looks like, but understandably, as a child, you reason, oh my goodness, if mum and dad can't cope socially with the world, how on earth can I? Even this is not a given. Some children with socially anxious parents still become confident adults. It's as though they decide to go the opposite direction. Another reason? In order to grow social confidence, children need to learn to take risks in social situations. They need to put themselves out there and to find ways of managing socially difficult situations themselves. Sometimes overly protective parents keep children very close to them or give the children just too much support, and it doesn't give the child room to grow. It can be hard to let go as a parent, to trust your teenager, to get the train themselves, to visit the big city themselves for a day out, to go to university, to go to parties. Parents who are anxious or parents who want to maintain that closeness, that close bond with their teenager, can sometimes interfere with this development and this confidence making Surely the whole point of bringing children up is so that they arrive at independence in the end, even though it can be painful to let them go. So those and many other reasons, like negative past experiences, such as being bullied at school, can make social anxiety a problem. While I say it's good to understand its origin, the main way to tackle it, the main way to solve it, is to examine your behavior, understand it, and change it. Socially anxious people avoid. That's to avoid, A-V-O-I-D. And it means to stay away from things, to stay away from people and situations. So socially anxious people say no to social get-togethers. They avoid conversations. They avoid that person on the street that they know, so they don't have to talk to them. And avoiding is just the worst thing that you can do. It's this avoiding that in the end places all those sad restrictions on your life, stops you fulfilling your potential. But more than that, it robs you of the opportunity to practice social interaction and to actually grow the confidence that's missing. So stop keeping yourself safe. That's safe in inverted commas, not really safe, by avoiding what makes you anxious. Avoidance is the number one enemy here. You're digging yourself deeper into the problem by avoiding. The key here is non-avoidance. If you avoid what's difficult, how can you practice and get better? What makes socially anxious people anxious varies a lot from person to person. Everyone is a little different. The onion analogy is useful here. An onion, O-N-I-O-N, is a vegetable. And if you imagine cutting an onion in half, you can see all the layers inside. That's L-A-Y-E-R-S. Well, people have social layers like the layers of an onion. Most people have friends and family at the core, people they're generally comfortable with. Most people with social anxiety feel okay with this inner circle. But as we move to the outer layers of the onion, where you know people less well and arrive at complete strangers, generally, people's anxiety here is much greater. Can you relate to that? That's the more usual version of social anxiety. But for some people, even the friends and family are anxiety provoking. Sometimes people fear that the longer they spend with close friends and family, the more the likelihood is that they'll be discovered to be boring or strange, or even that their social anxiety might be revealed. So they minimize the time that they spend, even with close people, even with the inner circle. And that tends to mean that they lack practice at social interactions and using social skills too. Even children who grew up to be confident adults back then had many situations that made them socially anxious. If you're 5 years old, that's quite normal. But for most people, as you grow up, as you get older, you're exposed to increasingly more challenging situations. You get used to them. You learn to tackle them. When people first start work, they can be anxious about answering the phone or giving a presentation to their colleagues. But if you have to do this every day and every week, you get used to it. You find ways of being able to do it. With that repetition, anxiety lessens, until it just isn't there anymore. That's the opposite of avoiding. That's practicing. And just like with your English language practice, practice makes it better. So practicing social situations makes it better. And if you avoid, you rob yourself of the opportunity to do this. Another important technique here, take baby steps. Make a list of social situations that trigger you, that you feel anxious in, scoring them 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult. And then start with the least anxiety-provoking situations. Think of it like learning to swim. You start off in the shallow end of the swimming pool and gradually move into deeper water as you grow your confidence. So imagine a social situation that makes you extremely anxious, the most anxious. That'll be your number 10. You may have a number of them. It could be going to a wedding where you know only the couple. It could be giving a presentation to 100 people. It could be going to a party or a pub on your own, or going on holiday with an unknown group. Whatever your peak social anxiety situations Make those your examples of the 10 out of 10 level. Then work down the list. What does a 7 out of 10 look like? What does a 6 out of 10 look like? Work all the way down to the ones and zeros. These are the easy situations. These are the social situations that you're comfortable with and don't cause you any problems. So the idea is that you work upwards on that scale. You certainly don't want to start with the 10 out of 10 situations. Sometimes dropping yourself in the deep end, as we say, can work. But what you may also find if you're unlucky is that it becomes quite a traumatizing experience. And if it goes badly, it can put you off trying again, maybe even for years. So don't do that. Start with the easy numbers and work upwards. Like the child in the swimming pool, start in the shallow end where you can touch the bottom with your feet so that you feel safe, and then gradually move up the pool as you learn to swim and become more confident. And don't forget to repeat those experiences so that they can become easier over time. Stay with the ones and twos to begin with. And then once you've conquered those situations and they no longer make you socially anxious, move on. Repetition, it's a bit like language learning again. Repetition is key here. Also, learn to put yourself out there. Socially anxious people often feel nervous talking about themselves. They don't want to bore people or impose upon other people. But actually, if you want to socialize successfully, you do have to talk about yourself. You have to have something to say. You must bring something into the conversation. You must offer something that the other person will respond to and which makes you interesting. And the whole point is letting others get to know you. So often one of the challenges for socially anxious people is to learn to talk about yourself, your life, your family, your friends, your interests, your opinions even, and your experiences too, without feeling uncomfortable. Think of it as sharing and being generous rather than imposing yourself. At the same time, you have to learn to be a good listener, rewarding company, someone who is a responsive and empathic audience when the other person is talking. You want people to talk to you after all, don't you? You want to be popular even and well-liked. And even though you may be in an anxious state when you're talking to someone else, do still try to make a point of remembering what they tell you about themselves. This way, you'll have something to ask them about when you see them again. Socially anxious people sometimes forget to do this because they're so anxious about how they're coming across, they lose focus on the other person. But also, socially anxious people worry that they won't be able to think of something to say next time they see that person and there's opportunity for conversation. So if you remember what the person told you about themselves in this conversation, it will give you something to ask them about next time you see them, when you're reconnecting with them. And sometimes people need a little social skills training too, which is again why therapy is good. A therapist will pick this up and know specifically what you need to work on and what things might be holding you back. A therapist will also be able to spot when you're slipping back into avoidance again, and they may help you sustain momentum as you move through the stages and the learning process. But what is also encouraging, usually the socially anxious person starts to see the results themselves. The world seems to open up and become more friendly and exciting. It's very rewarding suddenly to feel that you've got friends and confidence and the capacity to feel comfortable. It can be what people have dreamt of for a very long time. So if you're one of those people who sees someone you know walking down the street and immediately thinks, they've not seen me yet. If I cross over, I can avoid talking to them. Stop. Think again. Why are you doing that? It's much better to tackle it head on and have that conversation with them, or at least say hello and make a point of speaking to people and socializing at every opportunity you get. That way, you can practice and get better at it and grow your confidence. So you see, social anxiety isn't a life sentence. With consistent effort over time, you can overcome it. If you're socially anxious, I hope you find this podcast really useful. And even if you're not socially anxious, this podcast gives you some insight into other people you know that are and why they behave as they do. That friend who cancels the night out right at the last minute, or that other friend who needs to be persuaded four times to accept a social invitation. Share this podcast with other people who you think might find it helpful. Also, don't forget, this is really an English language lesson too. So listen to this podcast as ever a number of times until you understand all the words in it and you get all the meanings. Send us your comments. We love to hear from you. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.